our intro?
This is our intro.
No, I know, but are we doing like a is that our bit?
You know, you tried to take the regular Robin intro away from me, and I didn't like that last time.
Yeah, I know, but that's like the Robin intro. It's like, do we want a Dorkspawn specific one, or does it even matter? Do the people care?
Do the people care? Hey, people, do you care? Let us know in the comments. Let us know. Leave us a note down in the doobly-doo if you want us to have a...
Jesus Christ, is it 2009?
Did you get flashbacks? Did I send you
spiraling
into the past?
Yeah, that's right, gang. Hank Green is on the show. Hello there, Hank. How you doing, pal?
Oh, my gosh.
Nonsense.
I'm going to say, hi, I'm Dylan, or Super Dylan, SuperDillin, and I am one of the hosts of Dorkspawn, and this is my best friend and perfect human being, Robin. Robin, you do it now.
Oh, my God. Okay. I have to do the same intro.
You have to actually do the same intro, yeah.
Hello, beautiful, wonderful people. Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for coming along. My name is Robin, and I have never played a Dragon Age game.
And I've played so many of the Dragon Age game.
I forgot that we talked about that being the intro last week.
We did. We fully did it. oops. But last week we played up through our individual origins. Some of us played more origins than was necessary.
Yeah, some people that actually put in effort to the
I'm gonna kill you. And we played through the origin up until after the joining, where we both became wardens. And this week we've played a little bit further. We played through Lothering.
Which is the first town.
Yeah,
the first time in the game you're kind of like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just like let loose.
So first though,
I must say,
what?
Interesting. What are you gonna say?
No, what were you gonna say? You say it first.
No, what are you gonna
say? Shut the fuck up. Tell me.
You do it.
No.
Well, I was just gonna say, since last week when we released the first episode, we have a little gang of people, all of whom have started the game with us and are all playing through on our little Discord, and it is the cutest thing I think I've ever felt. It's everybody's like
place
talking
in podcasting. Everyone,
oh my God. Yeah. Everyone has like their own OCs and thoughts. Quite a few of them haven't played the games before.
Yeah.
And we released the show, and then EA was like, yeah, this is a great time. And then dropped, it's like 90%, like all of the Dragon Age franchise is like 90% off. And I'm like, that's us. We did that.
We did that. It's our fault.
You and, yeah.
you can tell EA in the comments. Please tag EA and tell EA.
Whenever you buy the game, say, thank you so much, Dorkspawn, for getting me into Dragon Age and teaming up with EA, and then get them to give us a bit part in the Veil Guard.
Shut up. No, I can't handle that kind of responsibility, but I will take an early version of the game. I would definitely take that.
I wouldn't take
that. You can't. You're not allowed to take that.
No, but yeah. I will take a bit part in the Veil Guard.
Yeah. Because this doesn't mean anything to you. This is a joke to you.
Yeah. It's just a fun... What is this? Just a fun time hanging out with your best friends, you fucking freak?
What is this?
How dare
you're not taking this seriously? You're not taking this as serious as it warrants?
Now, what were you going to say?
What I was going to say is that before we talk about Lothering, we do have to talk about the Battle of Ostagar. Because that is what happens immediately after the joining. And it is one of my favorite... Talk to me about that cutscene. The cutscene.
Baby boy, you know I love this
shit.
Oh,
hell yeah.
I have big fight, exclamation marks underlined twice.
Yeah.
Shit is so sick. I am obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. It's dope. So there's the big fight with the Darkspawn, because they obviously this isn't the final battle, but they are setting it up. Like, they're all talking about it like...
Everybody thinks
that. Yeah, we've rallied... We've rallied a bunch of armies and we've readied all the people. Like, this is the final fight. Like, this is what we're doing. But you, Alistair, and a small group of others are actually hitting a... It's not a lighthouse. It's a tower that has a beacon in it. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're hitting that to light the beacon to allow Loghain's forces to move as like a pincer attack.
So basically they're attacking King Kaelin's men head on in the head of Ostagar. When all of their forces are deep in the center against King Kaelin's army, it is King Kaelin is going to signal to the Grey Wardens. Grey Wardens are going to light the beacon, and then Loghain's army are going to come from the back, trapping the Darkspawn in between the two main armies. And what happens, Robin?
Well, I have some minor notes before I get to what actually happens.
Yeah, please do.
My notes are easy and small. Virulent Walking Bomb is the best spell ever created in anything ever.
Yeah.
Which is my big mage spell where you attach it to someone and then when they get reduced to zero health, they explode. And that's Walking Bomb. And then Virulent, I think is how you pronounce it. Then that bomb spreads to the other people that don't immediately die in a hit.
Wild that you have and that I have, in the prologue.
It's wild. I love it so much. It makes me feel like God. And it's very funny because another note I have is having someone do the ability Dirty Fighting after I put a bomb in their chest is very funny because I think that if I put a bomb in your chest, all bets are off. Nothing is dirty. Everything is fair. Like, do whatever you need to do to live, baby. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
You climb up the tower.
That's funny because dirty fighting is my favorite as a rogue.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. So you're fighting up this tower, fighting all these darkspawn that are trying to hold the tower. Is it just that they're there, or is it like a is it like random that they just appeared there, or did we know that they were going
to
be there?
So the signal is no, they were not supposed to be there. The thing is, you actually, I don't know if you missed them, but you run into some mages who are running away from the tower. And if you stop and talk with them, they will tell you that they weren't supposed to be here. We didn't think there were this many. And that's the theme of the fight. Everybody thought that this was an easy win. That it was the full battle, this was the final fight, and that we were surefire to win. And the sheer number and all the ways in which they're attacking signals to you, the Grey Wardens, that this is bigger than what King Kaelin thought it was. This is
originally thought.
This is worse. And so the Darkspawn being in the Mage Tower is a deeply bad sign.
And then you climb all the way up. You fight an ogre in a fight that was harder than I originally anticipated.
Love that ogre. He's so sick. He's so scary.
He's very cool. I really cannot... Now, I did just say that the walking bomb is my favorite move. My entire game plan is I put a bomb in a tiny, pissy, little weak enemy, and then everyone kills him and he kills everyone else. But when there is one big dude... I'm out of shit.
Yeah,
that
doesn't work.
Quinton puts up his hands and is like, "Yeah, lads, this isn't me.
Yeah, you're doing like the two hit point pew pew pew.
Yeah,
the whole
pathetic,
time.
Pathetic, shitty little pissy dumb move. But then you light the tower, and then it cuts to Loghain, and he pulls out of the fight. He retreats with all of his forces.
Mm-hmm.
So then that just leaves King Kaelin and Duncan to death, basically. They're fucked. And then they have... All right. Now, here's the
thing.
And Duncan mm-hmm. is also there.
Yeah.
I have... There has to be a prequel Duncan series that was at least talked about, if not there, because he does the coolest shit in the fucking world.
Yep.
It's insane. That guy is so sick.
You are not alone in wanting a Duncan... It is so funny because Origins is the, like, people fan cast Dragon Age stuff all the time. Origins is probably the least frequent that I see fan cast, especially these days. But everybody's got an opinion about who should play Duncan. Everyone.
He's just, it's like, he's fully like an Obi-Wan figure.
Yes.
Like, I see the influence.
Oh, for sure.
I actually do, like so much. He's the coolest guy ever. Now, I am going to say, I've written Game of Thrones death on here. Because Game of Thrones, if you don't see someone die, maybe a little sus and they're not actually dead. You don't see, you see King Kaelin die. You see everyone die. You don't actually see Duncan die. So a tiny bit of me is like, are they gonna chuck out that he's actually alive? Like, if not this game, if not Awakening to Inquisition, it's like the Veil Guard fucking Duncan turns up and he's like, yeah, I was taken down by the Darkspawn and I lived in the fucking bellows of the earth for years and I've crawled out and I'm here now. Because you don't see him die, you just see a guy run toward him and I'm like, Duncan ain't going down, man. He doesn't go down that easy. If he was gonna die, you would watch him die, is my opinion on Duncan. He's too cool to just, like, you can tell that the writers loved him as well. So I don't believe that he would just die to a random Darkspawn just running toward him.
Interesting theory. We'll see if it pans out.
Yeah. And then Darkspawn break in, overwhelm you.
Yeah.
You get shot about 50 times with arrows. You get riddled with them. You are a pincushion.
And it's fast.
And then you wake up.
I always like how fast that is. It's like King Kaelin dies. Duncan does the most badass thing, but he still dies. And then like it's like a big flash of light as like all the Darkspawn are just decimating everything left of the, you know, of Ostagar's forces. And then it's just a big flashbang back to you in the tower, completely overwhelmed. There's nothing you can do. You're like, I remember the first time that flip deck, I was like hitting my controller, but like, I was like, there's nothing that you can do at that point. And you're dead.
And you get riddled with 50,000 arrows and then you wake up.
Yeah.
And you are in
your girlfriend's house.
Morrigan's little house.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Your girlfriend's house.
Do you know what though?
Yeah.
Guess who I'm going to romance this run?
Alistair.
I'm doing it, baby.
Alistair. No.
No. No. Morrigan. Baby.
Oh, you are gonna. Oh, but that was the joke. I was saying
that was the joke. That was the joke. Yeah, I know. But I was saying yes. Tell me who I'm like. Guess who I'm romancing? Because I am actually romancing her. She is actually my girlfriend. Because I think she's fucking neat.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Right. We're not really jumping ahead in the story thing. The banter between Alistair and Morrigan is so great.
It's great.
I love them so much. I, however, don't like Alistair.
I knew you wouldn't. You're such a jerk. You're so mean. He's mean in your heart and soul. Your heart
he's
is
just
black.
A little pathetic for me. He's like a whiny guy. And I'm just sick of it. I just don't, like, every time he talks, I'm like, oh, pack it in, mate.
Mentor / father figure, and everyone he knows just died.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm into that, but every comment he makes is snarky, and I'm like, shut up, dude. Like,
he's trying
just
to find
be sincere for
comedy.
2 seconds. Just because he's your exact type does not make does not shield him from criticism. Okay. Because a snarky ass is who you love does not mean I do.
It's true. It's true. You're too alike.
Yeah. That's it. You wake up in Flemeth's house.
Yep.
It's Morrigan's mother. She rescued the pair of you. It's been like a few days, right? It's been like a while you've been out. It's been a few days, it's been a few weeks since you've been not
a couple
out
of days.
And here. Couple of days. And you talk to her and she is like super old. It's hinted that she's like, I mean, it's hinted that she's like
ancient.
Forever old.
Yeah.
And is like this old hag in the woods and we love that shit.
Alistair knows her like from myth. Like you know of her in like stories. So like it's, yeah.
It's super cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's so dope. And she's like, yeah, buddy, shit is fucked and you got to get out there and save the world because I don't want to, like, it's like, she says something like, I'll be fine, but everyone else will die. And then I don't want that to happen because that just feels bad for business. Mm-hmm. If the Darkspawn, like, fully take over. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, thank you for healing me. I'll go do that then. I guess we'll stop the Blight. And then she's like, cool, Morrigan is going as well. And then forces Morrigan to go along with you. I love it because she doesn't want to go at all.
Not at all. Not at all. Hates you.
All Morrigan and Alistair do is bicker and bitch at each other. And I love it.
It's great. It's great.
I'm obsessed.
Party banter is the best part of the Dragon Age series. Full stop, forever, bye.
It's great.
Best.
Yeah.
So
I'm, yeah. You go.
No, I was going to move on, but you still...
No, I am also moving on.
Oh,
we were
great.
Both moving on at the same time.
So you move on. You're headed towards Lothering because that's the first stop on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the first thing that happens to you? And I need a very important question answered because you did heal the dog, right?
Fascinating. This is also the most important question that I have you to answer today. I did heal the dog. I did. But the question you're going to ask is... What did you name the dog, surely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I name it.
My
what
dog's
I
name
always
is.
Name it, but.
What do you always name it?
Barkspawn.
Damn, that's really good. I called mine Barkley, which is very close. Yeah, so I got a little Barkley on my team. My cute little guy, who I'm a big fan of. I will also say, before you get to Lothering, Alistair also says that he knows the Isle too well, the Isle of Redcliffe.
Yeah.
Because he suggests going to Redcliffe.
Yes.
And I think that that's fun because I know a spoiler about Alistair that I'm not going to spoil because it hasn't come up yet naturally.
Yeah.
But it does. It's interesting that he knows, like they so hints to who Alistair is
for
through
sure.
the
very
fact that he
very
says,
early.
Oh yeah, I know him too well. Yeah. And then there's a scene with Loghain being essentially like chastised by a group of people. Loghain
you got
just
that,
having
that early.
Is that not the next cutscene?
I didn't get it yet this round.
Why? What is the thing that changes?
So I don't know exactly what the trigger is for it, but I got the dog and then I went to Lothering. And then
oh, interesting.
And then I haven't had a cutscene next. I'll probably get it as soon as I get a new cutscene.
That is fascinating. I wonder what triggers it though. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, he gets kind of chastised by people because they were like, yeah, but you left the battlefield. And he's like, yeah, I left because King Kaelin fucked up and everything was bad. It was way worse than anyone is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, yes, it is true, but also it's like, yeah, but he did bounce for his own gain. And then the queen is there,
yes,
I believe, which I think is the queen of like the whole zone, right? Is that not King Kaelin's wife?
It's King Kaelin's is it Anora?
I don't know. He just said he makes a comment about, oh, well, your husband. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's
okay,
King Kaelin, and then she must be the queen then. I found it weird that she was with Loghain at that time because she also kind of was like, yeah, my husband just died, so I'm not super into you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, and then I got to Lothering. Now, I have some things that I think are interesting because even though they're not decisions that, you know, are going to let out ripples into the world, I do think it says a lot about the characters that we are specifically playing.
Yes.
And these are things that people who are playing along with us, I'd also really like to hear what you did in this situation. Because the first thing that happens is you cross the bridge,
yep,
and then you come across a bunch of bandits.
Yes.
There is like a bunch of different ways out of
Here's
this. You can talk your way out of it. You can fully just pay the toll that they're asking for. You can threaten them into stepping down. Or you can fight them a little bit. They will surrender. and then you let them go, or you can fight them a little bit and then you can fight them a lot more after they have been like, no, please don't do this. What did you do?
So
tell
Falaria,
me all about...
Falaria is royalty. She's Orzammar royalty. So she knows how to do two things. She knows how to kill Darkspawn and she knows how to win over the masses. So she actually didn't intimidate them at all. She persuaded them.
Fascinating.
She persuaded, she convinced them that we were in fact Grey Wardens, that, that, so when you reveal that you're a Grey Warden, they do actually indicate that they already know that there's a missive out for you by Loghain, that you are the traitors, that the Wardens are traitors.
Interesting.
And so there's actually a bounty on your heads. But I took max coercion, act one, scene one. So I...
Ah, the two genders, taking max coercion or taking the ability to put bombs in people.
that's our deal, baby. So I convinced them that we actually didn't. And one of, not the bandit leader, but one of his friends is like, yeah, the Grey Wardens are good guys. Like, that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense.
That's interesting.
And so then I convince them of that. That convinces them to let us go. But then I'm like, did you not hear me? I'm a Grey Warden. You have to leave. So you can actually, when they let you go, the dialogue ends and you can just leave. But if you then talk to them again, they're like, I thought we were all good. And then you can be like, go. and so then I let them go and I took all of their cash. Did you find the cash?
I did. Yeah. But I found it because they intimidated me and then I was talking to them and I was like, oh, okay. And then I put a bomb in their chest and I was like, talk to me now. Take my money. Take it because I will blow you up. And he was like, whoa, maybe we don't. Maybe you chill out actually a little bit. So I killed like five of his guys and then he like freaked out and I was like, okay. So, all right. So I've done a bit of a shift on Quinton.
Okay, tell me.
I'm thinking... In Lothering, I played him like... Because I'm doing this whole thing of... He's someone who wants to see what if blood magic makes you evil. But I'm seeding the fact that he is not a nice guy. He's just kind of... He's a bit of a dick in this. So we'll kind of take the worse option and... is like so against Templars and stuff like that, that he's like kind of like itching for a fight at all times. So when they threatened him, he was like, oh, okay, that you've just made the wrong move. Cause I'm going to massacre
hair trigger,
your whole thing. And then did it. And then after they surrendered, I'm thinking Alistair was like, hey buddy, maybe we don't do this. And he's like, yes, you're right. The thesis that I'm making, which is blood magic doesn't make you evil. Thank you very much. Join my team and then fuck off. If I need you again, then you have to join the fight against the Darkspawn. He was like, okay. And then I went around and I stole all this stuff from the cache. And then I moved on to Lothering, which was my deal, which is what I did. And then we get into Lothering. There is a... And now, for our fun gamers doing this in the year of our Lord 2024, my game crashed about 100,000 times before I turned all the settings to the lowest that they could possibly be. And then my game was like, yeah,
my
gamer, don't you worry about it.
My gamer is playing this in the year 2024. I'm playing it through Xbox Game Pass, and it is running like a dream. Like a dreamboat.
Yeah.
It's purring like a kitten. To be fair. She's doing a great job.
Well, I'm doing it incorrectly then.
I will say this with the caveat that people who watched me stream this like 2 years ago know that I cried on live stream because it crashed and I lost like 2 hours of gameplay in the Deep Roads. So
I've been there.
I've been there.
Shit, I didn't even think about the Deep Roads. This is gonna be
rough.
You
also find a dead Templar on the highway.
Yes. And then you get a medallion from
Sir
him.
Sir Henrik. That's right. There's that I mentioned because there's a couple of people that you meet later that this is relevant to when you get into town.
Sure.
But my most favorite introduction to Lothering is the very first like big interaction that you have, which is the merchant that you come across, who is
beautiful.
And I can't wait to hear how disappointed or approved Morgan was of you. Please tell me.
For context,
we enter Lothering and we learn right away from both some exposition from like NPCs talking as you walk by and from a guard that stops you on the way in, a Templar guard, telling you that Lothering is in trouble. Like they're like Darkspawn are expected to come this way. Bandits are taking advantage of the fact here. They're overrun with refugees from places who have already been attacked by Darkspawn. They don't have room for anybody else, and they don't have resources for anything. The Lothering is in deep shit, is basically what you get.
It's going bad. It's also very fun to me that you said that this is the first major thing, because I did not find this guy for like a little bit.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so interesting.
I mean, I still dealt with him. When I met him, because he's like scamming people. He's raised the prices of
everything. He's price gouging. Amazon.
And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, yeah, this is fine, whatever. And then the Chantry were talking to me and I was like, hey, gang, how about, I can't remember necessarily how I started, but I know that I ended it by having the Chantry were coming to me and I was just telling the Chantry to calm down a bunch. And I kept saying, no, just ignore him. It's fine. It's just commerce. Like, it doesn't matter. Stop making a big deal out of this. And then I kept doing it and the Chantry kept being like, are you honestly going to let this evil man do this? And I was like, this is the bad guy option doing this, because the Chantry keeps telling you it is. And I was like, ugh. After like a while, I was like,
Do you need the church to tell you that price gouging is wrong? Robin?
Robin knew that it was the bad option. But it's like, after a while, I tried to see how far I could push telling the Chantry to leave until I was like, okay, I feel like this is my final out. And then Quentin rolls his eyes and is like, God, yeah. Because I think the option is literally
fine.
Yeah, I guess I'll help. Yeah. And I was like, go on then. So I told the guy to calm down, like, stop price gouging people. And I was like, is that fine, to the Chantry? And they were like, yeah, I guess. It took you a long time to get to that, but yeah, that's fine. I was like, okay, thank you. And the Chantry left, and then I bought a big fancy enchanter's staff off of him. Very nice. Because I am a lowly mage walking around with about 50,000 armor pieces that I definitely should not be able to carry.
Yeah, and then you sell them. You sell them all right to him after you're done chastising him. It's my favorite.
Yeah, and I sold them all to him, and I bought a very nice staff off of him, and I was like, hell yeah, gamer.
Yeah.
Morrigan is a fan of me, and I am into it.
She
I like it.
Disapproved, though, of that decision, I'm sure.
I think I got some pluses from...
You only get pluses from Morgan if you let the merchant keep his price gouging or if you kill him.
Those
are
very
the
fun.
Only two reasons that she will
love
approve of your decision.
Her. She is crazy and my wife.
She's crazy. We love her.
And then there is the chanter outside of the chantry who is only allowed to speak in classic, like, biblical phrases.
They can only
basically say
the chant of light.
The chant of light,
yes.
That's what it is.
Magic was made to serve man and not to rule over him is the first little
and
bit.
I almost got him to break. Oh,
so oh I got him to break.
But then he like...
I did. Oh, I got him to break. Oh. I never chose that option before, but I'm... So Falaria, I've decided is... Because I tend to make characters who are like just nice to everyone without like fucking, you know, any exception. But I am trying to like really deliberately play a character, and I'm thinking that Falaria is very dwarven and like believes fully in the dwarven gods, so like it's just like not gonna,
it's like stop being weird.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So yeah, I got him to break. I've never done that before. I was very excited.
Very nice. And then you go inside of the chantry, at least I did, and then there is a screaming preacher who is yelling about the end times, and I told him to leave or get his head caved in, and he was like, okay, and then ran away.
Oh, I talked to him and I just said, weird, and that was pretty much it. I didn't, and he kept screaming, and everybody was like, okay.
Because I was like, well, you're not wrong, pal. Like, everything is, but Lee, get out of here,
yeah,
please.
He's not wrong.
And then he ran away.
Okay, so inside, we meet a couple of very interesting characters right away.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet Sir Donal, not Donick. We meet Sir Donal and we meet Sir Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Bryant is very concerned about the highwaymen thing. And there are a couple things that can happen there because you can be like, yeah, I took care of that. Money,
give
please.
Me money. Money, please.
And you can do that, or you can just be like, no, I took care of it, don't worry. And then he's like, I love you.
Fascinating. No, I definitely said, I took care of it. Money, please. And then he was like, I can't give you money, but here's a key to our armory. And I was like, hell yeah, gamer. I'm about to get a cool weapon. And then it's one mushroom in that fucking chest.
You didn't go to the right thing.
It said unlocked with the key. It said unlocked with the key, and there was a single mushroom in
there. There's armor.
What else
in there.
Is there? Oh, shit. I did go. Fuck. I have just as well. So, minor spoilers. And Dylan, you don't even know this. Something happened at the end of the run that I will explain later, but I replayed the entire, like, last hour of my gameplay loop, which is, like, a couple of missions. And I was like, should I go into the chantry? Nah, fuck it. And I should have actually done that.
You should have.
Damn it.
Yeah, there's health poultices and an ancient elven boots in there.
Damn, that sounds like that would have been good.
Yep.
Actually. Shit.
And then you meet Sir Donal. And you can give Sir Donal Sir Henrik's locket. But Sir Donal's very important because he gives you very crucial information about one of the big parts of your journey. Do you recall what it is?
Yes. You have missives or something to that effect where it's like
treaties.
You have like treaties.
You have the Great Warden treaties.
You have three or four places that you can hit to be like, you please join me in the big Darkspawn fight.
So there, the Great Warden treaties are part of it, but then there's something else. So you have the Great Warden treaties that are going to help you get the mages, the dwarves, and the elves to help you. Then you don't have a treaty about this. This is Alistair's suggestion, is to go to Redcliffe and get help from King...
He's just the Earl of
Arl
Redcliffe.
Of Redcliffe. Thank you. The Earl of Redcliffe. And that's what Sir Donal is informing you about, is that the Earl is apparently sick, has mysteriously
And then it tells you about the ashes, right? The ashes, which I remember is important.
The urn of sacred ashes, which is...
That's it. It can, like, heal any illness, he tells you?
Allegedly. It is...
Allegedly.
Allegedly, it is literally filled with the ashes of fictional Jesus Christ on Draste. this is, like, we're getting hit hard in the face with deep Christian Catholic allegory right off the bat in Lothering.
And Quentin fucking hates this place, so it was like, yeah, sure, buddy, sure thing. I was a dick to everyone in this space.
Yeah.
Everyone here I was being mean to. And then afterwards you meet the Reverend.
Yeah.
If you did do this at the minute.
Yeah.
The revered mother. That's it.
Yep.
I have. Yeah. I wrote Reverend, but revered mother is what I meant. You meet her. I kept telling people I was a Grey Warden for power-based purposes. because although I knew that people didn't like the Grey Wardens, I don't think Quentin cared at all and was like, no, fuck it. He can know that I'm here because I'm going to kill this fuckhead.
Yeah.
So then told everyone, and I told her, and she was like, you should leave. You should get the fuck out because you should not have told me that. Because I, you shouldn't have done it. And I was like, ooh.
Wow. Okay. And I was going to ask you if you let her bless you, but you didn't even get that option, did you?
I did one worse because mine are jumping ahead. She was like, hey, you should fucking leave. And I was like, fine, fuck you. I left. I met Sten, who is a companion who is locked up. And then he was like, hey, I need out. And I was like, how do I get you out? I was like, oh, the revered mother. So I went in and I was like, hey, you fucking ass, give me the fucking... And I intimidated her into giving me the key. And she gets so pissed. She's like, how fucking dare you talk to me like that? And it is so good because in a lot of games like this, you it's like, oh, you have the skill? Just use the skill because then you get the thing regardless. In this, if you do shit to the wrong people, it's like, yeah, I have like coercion, like high coercion. So like I get the intimidate and the persuade things. But if you do it on the wrong person, depending on your words, it just backfires in your face. She did give me the key, but she was like, if I fucking see you in my fucking chantry again, I'm gonna lose my damn mind. I'm gonna get the Templars to kill you. And I was like, yeah, nice try, loser. And then I bounced. I left. So I didn't get blessed by...
Yeah. I also did not take the blessed, but we were not antagonistic towards her. We did ask for some blessings. We told her that the Grey Wardens did not do what Loghain is saying. Mm. She basically took a classic Catholic position on it, and she was like, I don't need to take a stance on this.
I also was like, yeah, I mean, he's a fucking liar. And she was like, okay, but... And then she was like, okay, but still leave. And then I came back and I told her to fuck herself, and then she got really angry.
Yeah. And then you meet a little boy on the bridge.
Yep.
The little boy on the bridge
has lost his mother.
Yeah, who's so dead. So totally dead from the moment that you meet him. You're like,
there's a full mission to get his mother's necklace, right? To like prove it.
Yeah. It doesn't like show up as a quest. It's like you just, as you're out there, then you, when you find it, you can give it
to him. Oh, okay. Like, I was thinking of the thing on the chantry board.
There's a couple things on the chanter's board. What is on the chanter's board?
Because one of them, because it's like,
oh, spiders? It's a last keepsake. Is that it?
Yeah. I thought that was his mother.
That's, oh, it is. It is. But it, yeah. Oh, it's not, because there's no correlation. That's what it is. Oh, there's no correlation. It's assumed, but it's not, there's never anything that's like confirmed, where you get like confirmation from the little boy that belonged to his mother. But yeah, it's assumed that that's who it is. So then there's that. And then we go to my favorite place in Lothering, which is the tavern. The tavern.
And you meet my old love, Liliana.
Old love. Oh, that's who you romanced when you first tried to play this game?
I romanced her within, like, I think me and Liliana were full dating, like, just after we, like, so fast that I think we still had, like, three places to visit. Like, we still had to do the mage circle and all this shit, and I was already kissing this girl.
Yeah.
Like, I love this chick.
Yeah. She's good. She's very good.
She's cool, man. She's like she's a part of the chantry, but then also is kind of like, she's a bit sus about it and isn't like super bought in, but
she
is a part of the chantry.
She is two fingers to the sky about the chantry while still loving it so much. She is like, she is the best representation of religion I've ever seen, where she is just like, God spoke to me and told me I can do drugs and be a lesbian. God spoke to me. God talked to me directly and told me that murder is good. God talked to me. and told me that celibacy is for chumps. Liliana is the fucking best. She, and that's the first thing you hear from her is that God spoke to her directly and said that she is supposed to join you and help in this mission to end the blight. So she tells you that straight out the gate, and you're allowed to just be like, that's stupid. You can't sit with us. But then you can be smart and you can ask her to join you, and she does. Do you already know, I will tell the audience anyway, but do you already know the secret mechanic for Liliana that exists in this game that is not something you are able to see on the screen at any point?
No, I don't think so.
So in addition, you know how you have like so-and-so approves or disapproves and...
Yeah.
So mechanically, what's happening behind the scenes, anytime you see slightly disapproves or approves, you're getting like points added to your approval rating for those companions. If it is if it's like approve or like severely approves or disappoints and severely disappoints, it's either 5 or 15 points in either direction or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that you get a notification anytime that happens. What you mm-hmm. do not get a notification of at all is that Liliana, behind the scenes, depending on choices both you make in front of her and dialogue choices you make with her in the world and in camp, Liliana can become softened or hardened. And that changes several outcomes for what Liliana's character will be. I won't say anything specific, but I am just putting that in your head because there is no other way to know about it. So whatever you interpret to mean softening.
Softened and hardened like in terms of like for or against the Chantry, or like personality-wise she is softer or harder?
In general, yeah.
That's cool.
So, and that I will tell you as another very light spoiler is something that stays through in the entire series. Liliana can always be influenced in that way, and it is never something that you are ever told is happening until you see the results of it appear in the game. So
maybe I should romance Liliana again because that's cool as hell.
It's cool.
Who are you romancing?
So,
if you are romancing anyone.
Of course I'm romancing someone. I have a love and he's in Denerim.
Who is that though? Oh, wait. Who is that?
I took the Dwarven Noble.
Oh shit, because you have a dwarf.
And he was exiled to Denerim.
There we go.
But he's there waiting for me.
Yes.
He doesn't know that I made it. He thought I died, but I will find him eventually, and I will tell him.
Oh my god, that's so magical. Aww. Mm-hmm. Love that. Huge. Yeah. Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude role. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes -2. That's a 0.
Snake Eyes, that that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
So then when you're in that tavern, you can also meet the Blackstone Irregulars.
Yes.
Who are a gang of people. They're not a gang, but they're like a group of people.
Yeah.
And they loved the Grey Wardens, apparently.
Yes.
They think they're the best crew. And regardless of the fact that everyone is now... Oh, you also walk into that inn and then a bunch of Loghain's men who is there attacks you.
Yes. And that's how you meet Liliana, is that... right. But how do you end that fight? Do you kill them all?
I killed all of them.
Oh, I sent them back with a message to Loghain. I said the wardens know what really happened.
I'm lying to you. I did do
you
that.
You did? Yeah. Okay.
I did. I think something tells me I blew one of them up. And then they were like, hey. And
if
I was
you
like,
win the fight by like X percentage, the fight stops. So you could have killed some of them before the fight stops.
I think that's what happened, dialogue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, my apologies. I did do that. I sent a messenger, one left, and I was like, go, run away, little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your king that I'm coming for him. Yeah, and then Liliana, Sten is now with me. I sent Barkley off because Barkley doesn't talk, so I didn't care. I was like, no, I want Sten with me because at least he has dialogue with other people and can kind of
banter. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a mod that gives you the free dog slot that I might download if I can figure out how.
Your party now is Morrigan, Alistair,
Liliana,
Sten can't be. There's four total, including you.
Yes, that's true. Sten isn't with us.
So, Morrigan, Alistair.
It's me, Morrigan, Alistair, Liliana.
Got it.
Because Liliana is a rogue and can break into everything. I personally prefer Sten over Alistair, but Alistair has really good dialogue and banter with Morrigan.
Oh, it's the best, yeah.
So I keep him in the party exclusively for that. Yeah, my apologies, I did get that wrong.
Yeah, you should be sorry.
I am sorry, because I lied to you. Yeah, I forgot, yeah, and then I sent Sten to hang out at camp.
Mm.
Even though I think he's cool. A Quinari before the whole horn thing in later editions of it. Actually, I don't even know if it is in this and there's something, the reason why he doesn't have horns. I saw a mod that gradually gives him horns throughout the game, which I thought was really cool. But
that's interesting.
I'm scared of mods.
However, that is unnecessary, as we learn that the Quinari are not just a species of people, but they are also a religious sect. And so when you are converted into the Qun, you become Qunari no matter what you are. So Sten being human is not necessarily...
And it is fully a redesign, but it is... absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's... Mm-hmm. And he was in jail because he killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, he says that to you.
Yeah, he admits it full out.
Yeah, and then I got him out. I was like, hell yeah, buddy. Hey, redemption? That's
exactly
my whole thesis. Come on out. Let's hang out together. And then I did every quest that I could possibly do. So there's a bunch of refugees that jump you, and
refugees.
I killed all them. There's bears, there's spiders. I found the locket. I went up to the place before I left, and I met the two merchants, the two dwarven merchants. And then I saved them. And then I was like, hey, come to my camp. And they were like, okay. And then I left camp. Now, for listeners who might not be all like up on all of our plans, we have a rule which is camp, missions, and talking. That's free. All free.
Mm-hmm.
So we did Lothering, and then I did my first night at camp.
Great.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in Lothering?
For sure. Blackstone Irregulars. Did you recruit your first guy to the Blackstone Irregulars?
Yes, I did. I went back to the Chantry. Great. And then I was like, hey, buddy. And he was like, oh, shit. I didn't think this would ever happen.
Good. Great. The other thing that I wanted to ask you is, where is it? Traps and poison. Where did you land with traps and poison?
I did them.
You did both.
Yes, because I could do... I'm lying. I didn't do traps.
You can't. Yeah, you could only do one of them.
Yeah, because I spoke to her and I was like, oh, I can't do that. And then I couldn't speak to her again. But then I went in and I spoke to the poison and I was like, yeah, I can do that. And then so...
Yeah.
I gave him all the poison stuff. And I thought you meant the herbalism one, which I did.
Oh, yeah, you can do the herbalism one.
I know herbalism and Liliana knows poison.
I have poison. I have Liliana on herbalism. I have Alistair on traps.
Can you respec them?
You can do anybody into anything you want.
Because Liliana, for me, had poison without me even needing to touch her. She just started the party and had poison ability.
Yeah, but then you can give her other things. When you level her up.
Yeah. I don't think she's leveled up yet.
Oh, that might be the case. Yeah. Yeah. I did traps.
Fucking true gamer over here.
Yeah.
Cool. What happens with that? Does anything happen? Is it like come up later?
So no, this is all about Lothering, but this is like I guess it's like
character.
Just character building or whatever. Stuff, Allison is trying to protect herself from the darkspawn. She wants to set up her house with like these traps
for that.
So that's what you do.
And I would have, but she wouldn't let me talk to her again after the first time. And she was like, hey, can you do traps? And I was like, no, sorry. And she was like, okay. And then when I came back to her, like, hey, I could later though. She didn't respond to anything.
No, so, right. Yeah, you have to have it. You have to be able to do it.
I have to have it when you speak to her.
Yep.
Did you talk about how you did the merchant enchantry thing? Did you talk about how you solved that little problem? Did you?
Which one? The
one where you talk to the merchant and then the chantry is like, hey, this guy is scalping. I can't remember if you.
Oh, right. I basically told him that I would take all of his stuff away if he didn't fix his prices and his attitude.
Very nice.
And then I did business with him after he corrected himself.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Good noble lady.
Yeah. I am the queen's people. I'm the people's queen, I mean.
True.
I am that was what I was before I was exiled. They all loved me and I'm going, you know, like that was
you're going to keep on keeping on, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, afterwards,
yep.
You go to camp. You have your first night's sleep. Quinton went to bed with so many broken bones because I kept dying in fights because I keep putting bombs in people and then standing right next to them and losing almost all of my health.
That's horrendous.
As I get
Do you have injury kits? That's the most important thing in this game.
I bought a bunch of them because I literally had three. I had like a broken head and a busted arm and
you
a busted leg.
You can learn
by the
to make them
slept.
And I will say it is the most important skill in this game and in two is to learn how to make injury kits.
How to stop that happening. Okay. But you go to camp and then you have a nightmare.
You see the archdemon.
Nightmare. You see the archdemon? Giant dragon.
And you wake up and Alistair's like, yeah, I see him too.
Yeah, I get that, gamer. Older Grey Wardens can like understand them and then also shut out the nightmares, but at this early on is like, yeah, nightmares are just like a thing. Mm-hmm. You can hear the Archdemon give commands to Darkspawn because you have Darkspawn blood.
Yeah,
in you.
And that is what allows you to sense Darkspawn. Now, we haven't gotten the opportunity to have this happen because we only just become Grey Wardens at this point. But this is now a thing, is that like this is how the game explains why you can tell that there are enemies behind closed doors when they are Darkspawn. You can tell because you are a Grey Warden. You can sense their presence.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
So then you wake up, you have a short conversation with Alistair where he explains all this. And then it's camp time where you can go around and speak to all of the people that you've gathered, as well as some other people who you haven't gathered that are just in your
show
camp,
the fuck up.
That just are like, hey, yeah, I saw you sleeping. I hope it's okay if I stand here ominously. And here's the thing that I did want to say that I think is so... It's so interesting because I am really interested, and I think it's so fascinating, the circle of inspiration from different forms of media and from like different pieces of art, how if they're influential enough, it becomes a circle. So for example, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 were these huge hits, these huge CRPGs, very, very popular. You don't have a camp mechanic, but you have this cast of characters who talk to you and talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of occasionally, and have these like dynamics, and then it's literally stated that Dragon Age Origins is so heavily inspired by Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
Oh, certainly.
And I think that that's so interesting because then Dragon Age had Origins, Dragon Age 2, Dragon Age Inquisition, and Baldur's Gate 3 is so incredibly inspired by the Dragon Age franchise.
So much.
So huge amounts. The camp thing, how characters like work and interact, again going to camp and like talking to them, the whole like relationships between each other and between you going up and down depending on your reactions to stuff. And I love the circle of inspiration. One of the more popular big circles of inspiration that I love is on the PS1 there is this franchise called Tomb Raider, which I'm sure most people do actually know the Tomb Raider franchise. Sure. Tomb Raider was super, super popular on the PS1, moved to PS2, got kind of became like, oh yeah, that old franchise that people really like. There was a couple of movies. Yeah. But it's this like, you know, Indiana Jones inspired, inspired by those movies, kind of the treasure plunderer adventure, you know, storylines. And then on the PS3, the Uncharted franchise came out, and the Uncharted franchise, they've said a lot of times, is so inspired by Tomb Raider, which in itself is very heavily inspired by Indiana Jones. And then later on, like Uncharted is this huge property on the PlayStation. And then Tomb Raider had this big franchise reboot which the new Tomb Raider is so incredibly inspired by Uncharted, which is inspired by the original Tomb Raider, which is inspired by Indiana Jones.
I didn't
know
all this. This is not my
Indiana Jones like came back as like a franchise, and they're like, yeah, because Uncharted is really big. And then it's like they like the Indiana Jones kind of franchise like,
that's,
you know,
so
reignited later because of of the new Tomb Raiders, which were inspired by Uncharted, which was inspired by Tomb Raider, which was inspired by Indiana Jones, and it's this full circle. And I love to see it here with you know, I'm a huge Baldur's Gate 3 fan, and seeing it here with Origins and how much inspiration is like clearly taken from it. And I think it fucking owns.
It does.
I think it's really
cool. It certainly owns. It's the best. That's great.
I love it. I spoke to, going back to Dragon Age Origins, spoke to a guy called Dryden, something Dryden, who tells you this whole story about how like Duncan, he owes Duncan a favor. Yep. Oh no, Duncan owes him a favor because his family lineage brought the Grey Wardens from
Weishaupt.
Orlais?
Yeah. From Orlais, which is where Weishaupt is, which is where the...
There you go. Down back into Ferelden, where we are now. And how his family lineage, because of something that happened, got super disgraced because they helped the Grey Wardens. Is it?
Yep.
Got really disgraced. Yeah. And then he's like, "Hey, can you help me?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!" I assume this is a DLC thing, minor DLC story, because he does kind of just turn up at camp and just makes me think, like, is this like a DLC?
What was his name?
Add-on.
Is
something Dryden.
Dryden.
Part of the Drydens.
Is that anyway,
he was cool.
Name?
Hold on. Talk to him. Drydens is what I have here. But then I spoke to the two merchants that you saved earlier.
Mm-hmm. We got to talk about Bodanthetic and Sandal. We have to talk about them. But hold on. This is the Warden's Keep DLC, which is
perfect.
One of the DLCs that's like woven into the game. So it's not.
It's just kind of. It feels to me where it's like there's this mission and it's just kind of items. You get a bunch of cool items.
There is a quest that you can do. You can physically go and do this thing, and it's a whole adventure.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah. And you can do that at any time. It's not a long adventure, really. It's just like a one.
It might be, thing. Yeah. It might be one that I will do and talk about at some point when I can be bothered to
good.
Do.
Good. Bodanthetic and Sandal. Let's talk about them. So we got to talk about them because Bodanthetic is a merchant you meet. Spam call.
To be specific, it's Boda and Fedic.
No, Bodanthetic. Is the merchant Fedic. And Sandal is his adopted son
right.
/ guy he found. So Bodanthetic
enchantment.
Yes, enchantment. enchantment. So Bodanthetic is a merchant that you find in Lothering, and to be clear, he never says he's gonna come to your camp.
He doesn't
actually say that. You don't invite him to your camp. You just have a pleasant interaction.
You see him and you say hi.
And then he leaves and then he shows up at your camp. Like that old Crypt Keeper. Same, like the Crypt Keeper.
Withers.
Withers, who you never invite to camp. He just shows up there. And that's Bodanthetic does that with Sandal. Now, Sandal is both one of the most fascinating characters I've ever seen in a video game or other piece of media ever, and also a problematic stereotype of developmental disability. Mm-hmm. So he's, and I need to mention it because I need us to be able to track how the games evolve him as times change and knowledge changes, because
that's interesting. Okay.
So
I didn't realize he was in.
So we have to mention him now so that we can follow this thread later. So what Bodanthetic tells us about Sandal is that he found him wandering alone in the deep roads, and he was just by himself alone in this deeply dangerous place that. If you haven't been to the Deep Roads, you may have not experienced, but if you start as a dwarf, you definitely start with the knowledge that the Deep Roads are crawling with darkspawn. They're deeply dangerous. So this kid was just wandering there alone. Bodanthetic found him, brought him up to the surface with him, and as it turns out, learned that he had a special skill, which no dwarves really have, because dwarves don't have access to the Fade. They don't have access to the Fade, presumably because
which is magic for people who
it's
might not know that.
It's the Fade is not magic. The Fade is a realm. The Fade is is another plane of existence where magic comes from. And you played the Mage Origin before, so you should know this.
Judgmental.
The Fade The Fae is another realm where magic comes from, but it's also where dreams come from. It's also where a lot of like emotions are said to be tied from. And
so can dwarves not dream?
Dwarves do not dream. They're not, they don't dream.
Is that, it is, do you comment on you that do. When you it have this
It is the first
nightmare?
Dream that you ever have is a dream of a fucking archdemon screaming at a army of undead monsters. So you don't dream, and you don't have access to magic, but for some reason Sandal is so highly skilled at enchanting things, which is the process of embedding runes into weapons, armors, other things like that to make them magic. So can't wield magic, but can control it and like fuse it to things. Like basically without even trying. So Bodan Fetic sells you stuff at your camp, and Sandal is there and will enchant anything you have as well. And they do have a small little story that you can unlock as the game goes through.
Ooh,
fun. Dialogue.
Oh, cool. Okay. I might talk to them more.
You should.
Because I just used him for selling all of the rest of the pieces of armor that I have collected.
That's his primary. Yeah, that's his primary purpose for sure.
Yeah.
So now, have you given anybody a gift yet?
So
tell me.
I want to romance Morrigan.
You do, of course.
And this is where I mentioned it briefly earlier. I went to Morrigan and I was like, I'm just going to ask her a bunch of questions. And then I minus her approval by 20 because she fucking hates that. And then got the lowest of everyone in my party. So then, as I said earlier, I reloaded the game, but my last save was an hour ago. So
that's
I just
why
replayed
you did it. Delicious.
The whole hour.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is completely unacceptable. And now, and then I got in. The guy has a bunch of gifts for like no money, and I imagine that's because it's another DLC thing.
Yeah.
Because I found a gift and then I gave it to Morrigan and it upped her like how much she liked me by 10, and then I gave her
that's
another
a gift
shiny
she really
thing.
Likes, yeah.
And then it upped it by 5, and I was like, okay, sick. This is So now she loves me, and now she is better at magic because we're very close. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm getting this romance option.
Good.
So I gave, but also on my original run, for some reason I had way more gifts, and I just plugged Morrigan with a fuckload of items. But then on my second one, I guess I just didn't spend as much time talking to people because I kind of rushed that hour. And I wasn't sure. So I, on my original run, I played the majority of it as soon as we got off call on like last week. And then I replayed the hour before we got on call just now. I replayed that 1 hour. So I was like, oh, I don't know what I did and didn't do. And then I got there. I did all of the missions that I knew that I could do. And then I went back and then I went to camp and, I just didn't have as much gifts. So I guess I must have spoken to a merchant and just purchased a bunch of gifts because I knew they'd be useful. Or maybe I found them somewhere and I just didn't find it the second time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yes, I gave Morrigan a gift. I then didn't ask her that many questions, but I spoke to her enough that her approval went up. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I said that I really dug the fact she was a shapeshifter, which I do. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I just think that because, like, me personally, I would date Liliana again because I think she's the coolest. But I was like, what? Quinton is a mage who.
Yeah, he's a little ornery,
it
seems. I think that they get on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she is like, yeah, I kind of live in the forest. I can do what I want. And I'm like, that owns. So Quinton is like, yeah, she's my gal.
Yeah.
So they're just going to be evil little witches together.
Valeria is really, I mean, really her focus is that it is, at this point, she's still focused on the fact that killing Darkspawn is the thing that is her sacred oath. It's her duty. And if there is any hope of her regaining her spot in Orzammar, there is nothing else that she can do except to defeat the Blight, because that is what dwarves are meant to do. And she is the people's queen. She is supposed to be the dwarf for all the dwarves.
Oh my God. I did. Oh shit. Who was I talking to? I think I was speaking to this Dryden guy, and he says that the king is dead. The king of Orzammar is dead.
He told you that?
He told me that,
he didn't
yeah.
tell me that. I didn't talk to him yet.
Oh, shit. That's crazy. I don't know. Maybe I clicked a certain option that got him to be like, yeah, now he's dead, because I wanted to know what your reaction to that would be, because, like, that's your dad. That's your literal dad.
That's my paw.
That's your paw.
My paw, who did, you know, fully let me get kicked out and was...
Yeah, but he also thought that you killed your brother.
He didn't think that, but he was too ill. He was too ill. What happened was the stress of his daughter being arrested and his son being murdered was too much for him to bear, and he fell ill. So he is ill.
R.I.P. in pieces.
Where he is ill when I left. Him being dead is news.
I wonder, I don't know. Is it different for dwarves? Like, when you go to Orzammar, is he going to be still alive but barely clinging on because
the timeline of those things happening doesn't change, but your relationship to them does. Okay. We will get to Orzammar in a few short months because Orzammar is the last place that we are going. This is a good segue. It's the last place we're going before the final fight of this game. So we are going next to the Mage Tower. The Mage Tower is our first. And I did this specifically for a reason. So this is because I expect that a lot of people are playing the game with us for the first time. And if you're playing the game with us for the first time, I have picked the order of the treaties we are going to go in the order of their, like, mechanical difficulty. So it is not, so you can choose any order. You can do Redcliff, Orzammar, you can do all of these places in any order you want to. But some of them are level, like, based, and they're not locked. So you can walk yourself into the hardest fight of your life at level 3 if you want to in this game.
Delicious.
And you can get your own custom story. But for this purpose, I feel like for an introductory to the thing, we have scheduled it around the leveling of this. So we will do the Mage Tower first.
And also, like, I guess if a lot of people aren't picking mages, picking the Mage Tower now will give a lot of story to what the deal with mages is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess
we get to meet Liam O'Brien, if you haven't met him already, if you didn't.
Delicious. I also won't be allowed to become a Blood Mage for oh so long. When is Redcliff? When are we doing that? Because I get Blood Mage at Redcliff, right?
That's a great question. I don't know or
villain.
I don't fucking.
No, that's perfect.
No. I can tell you. We have a schedule which is in
Redcliff is after Circle Tower, so that's
Okay, so it's the next one after that. Great. So we will be doing Mage Tower next. Remember that you can go to camp and you can go to Denerim and you can do the non-awakening DLCs, which are just the DLCs that are sort of dispersed through the game, as much or as little as you want. Which means, Robin, you are actually kind of like off the hook if you want to play more than just the Mage Tower. There's a lot you can actually do if you want to.
Yes. Yum, yum, yum. That's perfect. That's awesome. Yeah. Excited for it. Is there any other things that you want to mention on your little run?
I want to say that Valeria is maybe the most defined warden I've played. I've played a lot of defined champions, and I have played a lot of really, really ultra defined inquisitors. I have not played a warden that I feel this strongly about, and it is actually worrying to me that I will not get the ending that I want to have.
because you're characterizing them too much?
I'm characterizing her too much, and I think I'm worried that I'm not going to get the perfect ending out of Origins.
Holy shit.
Because I may need to do what is appropriate for her.
What my character would
do. Yeah, I'm really worried about that.
Oh, that's so fun. That is fucking delicious. Yeah,
but I do like her still, despite it all. I do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, clearly you like her enough to define her in such a way that it might ruin your vision of what the run is going to be. Which we love. You got to take the punches as they happen.
What do you want to say about...
I don't know. I don't think I have anything that I need to say about my guy. He loves Morrigan. I do not like Alistair at all.
Gross.
But I'm going to keep him around, and I'm hoping that he's going to warm. I'm going to warm to him. I'm sure I will. I have no doubt. He's just like it's the character archetype that I think I would like him if the Marvel movies didn't exist.
They ruined something. Yeah, they ruined.
Do you know what I mean?
Know.
It's like he's the kind of like
no, I
snippy,
do know what you
quirky
mean.
Guy.
I played
like,
this before they happened, so I
yeah
yeah no.
So he's
that
like
does
the OG, and
sense.
It's great, it and he works. But to me now, I'm like I've just seen this character too much, and it's just
oh,
so
God,
uninteresting.
What a devastating
to me now. Which is
actualization you've just given me.
I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
I know. That's really hard yeah. to hear.
But I'm gonna have him stick around because him and Morrigan rag on each other all the time, and I think it's the best thing. Like I could fully so there are like compilations of like oh this is like character interactions with XYZ, and I get why that exists because I could literally just sit there and just listen
it's
to
great.
Them talk for ages.
I will say
and just
you
fucking
don't
mock each other. I think it's
need
brilliant.
To listen to that for this as long as you just play the game and switch your party every once in a while. You will get all the dialogue. When we get to Inquisition, I will encourage people to install a mod that increases the rate of banter because there's so much great banter written in Inquisition, but for some reason the mechanic to trigger it is like too slow. And so you don't get enough of it. You don't get what's written. It remains to be the most brilliant character exposition mechanic in video games ever.
It's great. I think it's so fun. I might give Sten a little bit of a go in it because I think that he's got a cool like vibe that I think is fun. And I kind of like I want the party to understand each other in like a meta sense like I want, you know, of course Quentin is hanging out with Morrigan because both of them are like kind of want to be outcast mages and they are like are kind of into the weird occult stuff, and I think that that's a so of course they're going to be hanging out, and like Sten kind of works in that way because he is like being forcefully outcast and has this story, so I think Quentin would be like I want you to come along with me.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't want Alistair to come because Alistair is a Templar, and why the fuck would Quentin want a Templar? You literally kept me locked in my bird tower for my whole life, fuck you. But I also know that if I don't have him in the party I might not get like I feel like if I don't have him in the party or don't have certain characters, I'm going to lose out on subtext and like more character growth that I'm a little worried about. But I had Alistair for this. I'll have Sten switch out for my tank role. And then I'll probably always keep Liliana because I love her so much.
Yeah.
I probably won't have Barkley in because they're just a dog and they don't give like... I'm in it for the characters talking. I don't want a dog there and not talk with the other people. There is some fun banter with them, but it's like, I'm not going
to
get
no, but
deep
talk to Barkley at camp, not on the road.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll do that.
Talk to Barkley at camp every time. that you go to camp.
Interesting. Okay. Fascinating. Love that. Sure, I will do that. And in the Mage Tower, we're going to get Wynn.
We are. We're going to get Wynn.
We're going to get Wynn, who is someone that I actually don't know very well, because I picked up Wynn before I, like, just before I went to Ozamar, but I did everything else except for that. And it's like Ozamar was like my big final before I went to like the last act moving in.
Yeah.
So I didn't spend a lot of time with Wynn at all because I picked her up really late. So I'm excited to pick her up early. I'm not going to have a team of three mages and a rogue, because I feel like we'd get the shit handed to us. And I have a healing spell, but I like her vibe. I think
her vibe's great. Her vibe's the best. Yeah. I'm really excited to meet
her. So I'm looking forward to it. Are we going to meet the other? No, we won't meet the other guy.
Ogryn?
No. Ogryn is at Ozamar, right?
We don't meet him for a while.
I mean, the elf.
Zevran, you will meet when the time is right. You meet Zevran in a cutscene on the road.
It is random, then.
It's random. You meet Zevran on the road. You meet Zevran when you've triggered enough suspicion towards Loghain. That is the most spoiler I'm giving you. Ooh. It's too much spoiler already.
Interesting.
Yeah, you trigger a cutscene, you'll meet Zevran.
Dylan, I don't want to stop talking because I've had to not talk about Dragon Age for a whole week. I've talked about it with other people, but I haven't been able to talk about it with you, and I hate that because you're my best friend. I love talking to you.
I love you so much.
Give me more Dragon Age opinions.
I will tell you right now, I shall not be left to wander the drifting roads of the Fade, and there is no darkness, no death either in the Maker's Light, and nothing that he has wrought shall be lost. And I hope that that gives you hope and courage to stay. That's Trials 1:14. That you and bullshit. With that, I will say we will see you next week with the Mage Tower, and until then, wardens, in war, victory, and peace, vigilance.
Goodbye, heroes. Nonsense. I hate the fact you did that.